title of today's message is called The Spirit of Truth. So we'll start with 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 9 and then 13 to 17. It reads, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was." Verse 13 reads, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So in this scripture, it clearly shows that there ought to be a divide between the world and us. That we strongly set, you should set ourselves against the course that some others take. And especially in these times, because we are in the end times, it's very clear with the things that are happening. So with just all the teachings that we've been receiving to date, the Holy Spirit has sent me to say, do not take it lightly. You ought to really steep yourself in God reality, steep yourself in all of the teachings that we are receiving in this house. You know, he kept saying that he wants to reveal himself through us. And that can only be done with us standing in the center of who he is. The people that were named here are resistors of truth. He shares certain words with us to correct, like I said, to correct us, to reproof, and for instruction into righteousness, so that we can move from being these people, because a lot of this describes a lot of who we are, unfortunately, even within the body of Christ. He comes to give us these examples and show us who these people are, so that we can then turn away, move away, step away, and into the glory that he's calling us to. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, is calling us, saints. He's calling us to come out of the world. He's calling us to remove ourselves from all these circumstances and all these things we've dabbled in. He is looking for truth. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's the Spirit of Truth. He wants that truth to be revealed in and through you as well. And that can only be done when you come out. The people described here, just like Timothy did, are contending with what the plan of God. Let's not be contenders of the word. Let's not be contenders of the move of the Spirit in our lives. He has called us to be the evidence of his glory. Your life should reflect all of what the Spirit is doing within you in these times, especially in these times. Come out, saints. Truth is impossible to access since we have limited experiences and there are so many conflicting ideas in the world. Yet we are not alone in the search of truth. We have been given the Holy Spirit. I'm here to remind you that the Holy Spirit has been sent for us, for this very reason. Can we turn to John chapter 14, verse 15 to 31? It reads, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Other manuscripts read, "He is in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So our ability to do any of the things we've been instructed to do is only in and through the Holy Spirit. And this is why he was given to us, for this very reason. So God would like for me to remind you that you have a help. You have a help who is all-knowing. You don't have to figure it out on your own. God knew the disciples then and us now would need God's presence and his power for us to be able to keep his commandments. The Holy Spirit says, there's so much I want to share with you. There's so much I want to reveal in you. But I can only do this when you keep my commandments. Sorry, I didn't give the back this, but John 14, verse 12 to 13 speaks of the greater works that God is calling us into. And these greater works that are described, they are only possible through the empowering described in, verse 14 to 18. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he will bring you another helper." Those only become manifest through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Through the empowering of the Spirit of truth. I just want to go to verse 17. It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." The world can't receive or understand the Spirit because he is holy and he is true. And the world is simply just the opposite. The Spirit of truth is not popular in an age of lies and deceit. Which then speaks to how little of his power we, in our worldliness, are able to see and show. Come out, saints. Come out of the world. Come out so that his power may become manifest. Come out that his power may be revealed in these earthen vessels. We carry a power that we limit by not doing what we are instructed to do. A power that is fighting to come out. We received a word in the beginning of the year, Isaiah 60. Arise, for the glory is risen upon you. The glory can't rise if we do not come out. Come out, saints. So there's a whole relationship in the Holy Trinity, a union. Through the Holy Spirit, we know life of a relationship, a shared life, a union with God the Son and God the Father. This union is marked by knowledge of his will, which says, those that have my commandments. It's marked by obedience to God's will, where we keep the commandments. The union is marked by love. Those that keep the commandment are those that love me. The union is marked by relationship and reception of love with God the Father. It says, those that love me will be loved by my Father. The union is marked by a revelation of Jesus himself, where he says he'll manifest himself to us. This union flows from the union with God through the Holy Spirit. All of this is only possible through the Holy Spirit. Do we know him? Do we trust him? Are we surrendered to him? If not, how do we think we're going to manifest all that Christ is bringing? And if not us, who? And if not now, when? These are perilous times. And when 2 Timothy, when Paul is speaking there, he's not speaking about the bad times. He's speaking about the bad people. So when you receive a word about unforgiveness and how we ought to forgive, and you receive a word about not judging other people, it's him changing you. Have you been steeping yourself in those words? He's holding a mirror so that there can be a clear divide between people of the world and us. I think for so long we've gotten away with being able to mix, to be able to be a Christian on Sunday and Wednesday and every other day be cool and out there. But not anymore. He requires truth in our innermost parts. He doesn't require of something that is not already within you. Truth lives in you. How then do you go and oppose it? Not only are you denying what is inside of you, you are denying yourself. I pray this morning that it truly we can change and not take for granted everything that we are being fed here. There is time being spent seeking the Lord to receive the words that we receive here, not for our own health, but truly for your health, truly for your life. Christ lives so that you also may live. He's giving you so many resources, but the biggest one lives inside of you. You sleep with it. You wake up with it. You walk with it. Why aren't you talking to it? Verse 30 reads, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Jesus was confident enough to say, Satan has no hook, no foothold on me. Are we able to say the same? But he has come to help us to be able to get to a point where we are able to say, you have nothing on me. And therefore, there is nothing that you can tempt me with. There's nothing that you can distract me with that will take me away from the Spirit of truth. Love and obedience is described in the relationship and the union with the Holy Spirit. Love and obedience calls for the presence of God. We need to be evidence of Christ's glory. We need to be evidence of Christ's glory. We can't be happy and comfortable with barely making it or just making it. We come here every Sunday and Wednesdays to be equipped to go out and show his glory. We don't come here to collect and write notes and fill our notebooks with just words and do nothing about it. We are here to be equipped. Let's go back to the words we've received thus far and truly steep yourself in those words. Cover yourself with those words. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help you, to show you what to do, what not to do. This is what he's here for. You have a friend you can speak to any time of day. Big things or small things, he is there for that reason, to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you. Jesus himself had the Holy Spirit. Who are we to deny it? Why then do we think we can do it without him, outside of him? The Holy Spirit is calling to reveal himself through you. All he requires is for you to abide in him and allow for him to abide in you. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We have a navigator within us, a navigator of holiness, of purity, of truth, of certainty, of love. All of this comes because he loves us. Our love for Jesus, although it's good for us to feel it emotionally and sentimentally, but we can only reflect our love for him through the obedience of his commandments. We need to obey the commandments that we've been given. We need to follow the instructions that we are given because they are instructions into righteousness. We can do none of it without the Spirit of truth. We can do none of it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Allow God to share himself with you. Allow God to reveal himself to you. allow the Holy Spirit to do all in and through you. Take seriously what you receive from this pulpit. Take seriously what you receive from here. It is not for fun. These are trying times. The enemy is at war. Why are we resting? We have been given tools to war with him. We are able to go head to head with him. We are able to go head to head with him. Our focus needs to be in the relationship we ought to have with the Holy Spirit, so he can tell us exactly which way to go. So he can tell us exactly how to fight. Because we are in a fight. We are at war. For his kingdom to come here on earth within us. I pray this morning that you may receive of everything that God is giving to you. I pray that you may open up your spiritual ears and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I pray that you may turn away from the world. Come out. Come out. I pray that our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our lives may be transformed, that we may be evidence of Christ's glory. Let everything you receive here produce all that God intends for it to produce within you. Keep your ground fertile, that every seed that falls begins to produce fruit. Abide in him. Abide in him. Seek him. Search for him. He's there to be found. Long for him as he longs for you. Call out to him as he calls out to you. He said, come, let us reason. He's sovereign and he's come down to say, come, let us reason. He longs for you. May his longing not be in vain. Cry out to him as he cries out to you. Reach out to him as he's reaching out to you. And may the love of God be with you all. Now and forever, amen.